Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Is up, fight fans. We welcome you into another edition of Inside Boxing Live. Dan Canovio, your host for the next 48 minutes of Canelo Alvarez, Caleb Plant talk. Fight week is finally here. One of the bigger fights on the 2021 boxing schedule. And we have a big one planned for you today. We got Barack Bess from the DAZN Boxing Show. He's covered a lot of Canelo's fights. He's got some interesting takes on Canelo's career, where he's at now, how far Canelo has come since those days of Canelo weight at 155 pounds, his two fights with Golovkin as well. So I really enjoyed the conversation with Barack Bess from the Barack and Ox Show. And then Lee Groves of CompuBox, noted boxing historian, my colleague at CompuBox and a big part of our operation, is going to throw a lot of numbers out, a lot of stats. If you're looking to bet on the fight, maybe this will lean one way for you, whether it's Caleb Plant's accuracy numbers or his defense numbers, or just Canelo Alvarez, how he just absolutely beats up on fighters taller than 6 foot. Really good stuff from Lee Groves. So those are our two guests this week, Barack Bess and Lee Groves. Well, fight week is here. Canelo is by far the biggest star in the sport. And we're going to see something in this fight that we have not been able to see in a while for Canelo Alvarez. And that is the true gauge of his star power. His last couple fights have been on DAZN. And as we know, DAZN is a streaming service. They are pretty private with their numbers. DAZN will tell you that, you know, X amount of subscribers have logged on and bought DAZN for Canelo fights, but we never actually saw it. So now with a pay-per-view, with Showtime behind it, with an intriguing opponent in Caleb Plant, with history on the line, we're going to see the gauge of Canelo's star power, if that is something that you care about. I know that there are people that do not care about the business side of things. There are others that just want to see fights. There are people that care about both. I'm somewhere in the middle of that, where I'm interested in the type of pay-per-view numbers it does. I just want it to be a good fight. I want it to be a clean, decisive fight. I want to see it. I don't want any controversy. We don't need any of these judging snafus. Adelaide Bird, please stay far, far away from Las Vegas. But that is the big fight this weekend over on ESPN. On Friday night, Michaela Mayer is headlining a fight. So if you're in Vegas, you want to check out a fight on Friday night, or if you're watching from home and you want to your boxing fix on Friday night, there's a pretty good card over on ESPN. We saw some good fights last weekend. And another fight was just made this week as we headed to Canelo Alvarez fight week. Not Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury. I'm talking about Jojo Diaz and Devin Haney in the 135-pound division. I love this fight for a number of reasons. You take a look at Jojo Diaz. He is the WBC lightweight champion on paper or on by email. And he now is putting together a very good 2021. You know, compared to his contemporaries, you can make a case that out of him, Tank, Ryan Garcia, and Teofimo Lopez, Devin Haney's fighting the best talent. You know, he's fighting Jojo Diaz and Jorge Linares. And if you look at it from Jojo Diaz's standpoint, so much emphasis is put on Tank, so much emphasis put on Teofimo and Ryan Garcia and Haney, that we kind of forget that Jojo Diaz is a lightweight guy that's going to make his own name for himself. With a win, he's now the WBC champion. He calls the shots, and especially over there with Golden Boy, that's a good and a huge opportunity for Jojo Diaz. That's going to be either December 3rd or December 4th. So we're going to have Teofimo Lopez and George Camposos on November 27th at the Garden, and the following week on DAZN as well, we're going to have Devin Haney and Jojo Diaz. So Matchroom USA's demise is put on pause. Some people out there were wondering about that. But let's get into our guests. Our first guest here on the show is Barack Bess of the DAZN Boxing Show. All right, let's bring our guest this week. He is a friend of mine. He is a friend of boxing. He is one half of the Barack and Ock tag team that you can see every single week over on DAZN. You can also catch him on Fight Day or Fight Night on broadcast. Does a little bit of everything for DAZN. And I'm pumped to have you here, Barack. It's a long time coming. Your Inside Boxing Live debut. We're usually talking boxing like off the record. Now we got you on camera, man. What's good? How you doing?
Yes, sir. I'm good, man. Great, man. Thank you. Well, you finally got enough money to afford me, and so I'm here.
Your check is in the mail. Do you accept Venmo? Because, you know, we might have to get it out to the West Coast. So now you've left New York, and you're a West Coast guy now, right?
No, I'm both. But recently I've been in New York a lot more.
Okay. All right. Bi-coastal. That's how big you are now, man. I remember that this is 50 days, and now you're bi-coastal.
Wow. Wow, I appreciate you knowing that, though. Thank you.
I know everyone's start, and it's great to see you shine. You bring a lot of level-headed takes to the fight game, and this is why I want to have you on, because I like to think of myself as the same way. Big fight coming up this weekend, Canelo Alvarez, Caleb Plant, Showtime pay-per-view. I know you're headed out there for the fight. We'll get to that in a little bit, but I do want to talk about some other items that are in the boxing headlines, and there's none bigger right now than Tank Davis and what we thought was going to be his fight with Rolando Romero. That fight is not happening. We know what's going on with Romero, and if you don't, a lot of sexual assault allegations, 8 women and counting. PBC has pulled the plug. Showtime pulled the plug. Kudos to them. Because you've probably seen this. There is a lot of toxicity in the boxing world. There's a lot of things that boxing fans, the boxing industry will turn a blind eye to in order to keep the show must go on sort of attitude. But that can't happen these days. That can't happen here. That can't happen with this type of fight. So kudos to Showtime. Kudos to PBC for pulling the plug on Rolly Romero.
Yeah, absolutely. But in the beginning, though, when I first heard it, I was like, got to be careful with stuff like this, because in reality, things start off like you get a Twitter charge. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And just because of a Twitter charge, you would hope that you don't lose the biggest payday of your life. But when you talk about the Las Vegas police getting involved and doing an actual open investigation, you got to respect Showtime for doing that. You got to respect Showtime for stopping, you know, the fight of one of their biggest stars, Gervonta Davis, you know what I mean? And showing that you can't be aligned with foolishness like this and represent our brand.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, like you said, kudos to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can just say, listen, we're taking Romero out of this fight. He's going to go through the legal procedures. If his name is cleared, who knows? He'll be back and he can fight. But if they went through with this and then more allegations came out and more things that you're able to prove, and then it looks really bad on Showtime's
100%.
Part. So, no brainer. And it's not like fans were like craving this Rolly Romero, Gervonta Davis fight. It was a fight that was made because the guy could talk. He could punch a little bit. It was going to sell. We know that Gervonta Davis hasn't fought the top opposition just yet. But as we know from Mike Coppinger reporting, that looks like Isaac Cruz is going to step in. But I just want to say hats off. I mean, it's like boxing's the red light district. You know this. And it's there's so many things. It's like, well, Gervonta Davis has his own criminal past. And, you know, a lot of fighters aren't saints. But, you know, you have to stop the line somewhere. You have to draw the line somewhere. So that's good on boxing. I'm proud to be a boxing fan or in the boxing media to see them do the right thing. So Isaac Pitbull Cruz, as reported by Mike Coppinger, is going to step in. And this is a guy who's ranked in the top 10 in every rankings that means something, IBF, TBR rankings. A guy that throws a lot of punches, close to 60 around, a good body attack. I think this is actually a better fight.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a better fight. I mean, especially for Gervonta Davis's legacy. You know, I mean, the Rolly fight, the reason why we were all giving it a pass is for what? Because we wanted somebody to shut him up. You know what I'm saying? That's basically what it was. We're like, all right, please, we'll let you go knock this guy out. But after that,
yes,
you got to start fighting some guys we want to see. And this is that guy. He's a natural 135 pounder, but he's smaller. So he's a little bit more compact. Hence the name Pitbull. You know what I mean? So I think for his record in general, yes, this is a better fight.
Yeah, throw 60 punches around. He's going to come at Davis. And I love these types of matchups.
Yes.
Like a pressure fighter versus the power guy. We've seen this all the time. Like I would love to see if he's going to throw 60 around against a guy that is probably one of the best counterpunchers or in the top five counterpunchers in Gervonta Davis. That's going to be interesting. And you're right about the legacy of Gervonta. And I have to laugh and I have to, you know, I'm on Twitter all the time. And for the last weekend, since we've kind of figured that Rolly was going to be out of this fight, it was trying to come up like, oh, I want to see Prograe fight him. I want to see Haney fight him. I want to see Gary Russell Jr. I mean, obviously, yes, I would love to see that, but we know how this business works. We know what, like with Ellerby and Mayweather, their plan is pretty set in stone. Like, we're not really going to test him just yet. We're going to line our pockets where he's going to sell out arenas, which is a great thing, which is hard to do. And he's going to win. And it's going to be entertaining. It is what it is at this point.
Which is strange to me because I know Mayweather has always said, I want to put my guys in there with tough guys the same way I came up. And that's always been his thing. So, and it's funny because why do that with Tank when Tank is super skillful, super powerful? Does he really need to be tested anymore? He's awesome. Like he passed my eye test years ago. The guy is great. And I think he can hang in there, if not beat everybody, who knows? You know what I mean? But we'd like to see, you know, and Isaac Cruz, yes, compared to Rolly is great, but obviously we want to see him there with other guys.
Yeah, he's a real lightweight Cruz. He's not like a blown up featherweight like Santa Cruz. Right. He's not, he's a little bit more, I don't know, but Barrios was, I feel like was such an isolated fight. It was like, I don't see Tank going to 140 again anytime soon. So that was just, that was a strange fight right there too. And
how do you think, I mean, what do you think about that win though? You think that was a good win? I thought that was a great win.
Mario, yeah, I do. I do think there's a thing where, you know, Ellerby tweets at me a lot. I made one clumsy tweet where I said that Tank isn't elite just yet because he hasn't fought elite opposition. He has the elite skill set. That's without a doubt. His elite power. You can erase everything. You can just erase all doubts if you put him in with another elite fighter and then he wins. Because I'm with you. I think the guy is a pound for pound type of talent. We just haven't seen it thus far because he's, you know, they found the loophole. they're able to sell out arenas. They're able to get decent pay-per-view numbers. And that's what they're going to do. And like, even with Floyd, like you said, it's not like Floyd, before Floyd was money Mayweather, he was pretty boy Floyd. And he was had big wins over Diego Corrales. He had big wins over Genaro Hernandez. Like, I just don't know where to, it's just, he's such a lightning rod Tank. But I do think the Barrios win was a good win. You know, he showed moments where he was vulnerable. The power, any guy that can walk that tightrope that Tank does, where he doesn't throw a lot of punches, he loses rounds based off just sheer inactivity of just not throwing, but just has so confident in that power, especially late in fights. That, to me, is one of the most exciting types of styles you can have.
Yeah, and a lot of times he's not losing because that fighter is a much better fighter than him. He's losing trying to set things up and just taking that risk, right. And I love it.
Right, and that's just like what Jermell Charlo does, and it's just like what Canelo does. It's a similar, right. it's a style that I don't think a lot of trainers would teach because not a lot of fighters have that equalizer, that one-punch power that Canelo has, that Jermell Charlo has, DeWilder has as well, doesn't throw a lot of punches, and that's Tank. So Tank versus Isaac Cruz, December. We just got into November. Some great fights coming up this month, every single weekend. If you got a significant other, Friday and Sunday is your night to do something. Because Saturday night, if you're a true boxing fan, you got to come out. Sure. But just this past weekend, I'm gonna get your thoughts on Boots Ennis before we get to Canelo. This guy's, I think he's worth all the hype. Let's pump the brakes on Bud. Let's pump the brakes on Spence. But he would give any welterweight problems.
100%. I said this actually earlier today. There's other fights with the champions that are currently champion now that we want to see. I don't really want Boots in there messing that up right about now. You know what I'm saying? Whether he can beat them or not, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that I just want to see those guys who've been there for a while now contend with each other. Bring guys like that in. You know what I mean? And that's just how I want to see it. But as far as performance, I mean, look what he did to Lipinets. You know, and then Delorme, a real 147-pounder who had a decent fight against Jesse Vargas, he destroyed him. I mean, no one's ever done that to him before, you know, first round. So he's already proven himself. I think there's other fights out there for him. If anything, I can see him fighting Ugas. Mm-hmm. But now Ugas, unfortunately, because of the WBA, has to, you know, prove his worth again. Meanwhile, he just beat Pacquiao.
It's absurd. It's like I was just had boots on last week and he understands it. He goes, I had to wait my turn, which goes to your point of, listen, let's get the fights we haven't seen yet, because there are a few we haven't seen at welterweight. He understands that he has to kind of, you know, wait his turn, and his road is going to be the eliminators. He is already ranked pretty highly in the WBA, IBF. He can fight Butiev, who just won this past weekend against James. Like, we could still, like, hype up Boots a little bit, but just if you go with the eye test, I mean, he's so quick, got so much power. Stop the guy like Delorme, who, yes, he is past it, but hadn't been stopped, Delorme, since 2015, and that was by Terrence Crawford. Yeah. So, I mean, Boots has it all. Boots has it all.
Right. And this man, listen, Boots really has it. And you know what's crazy? He hasn't even really shown what he has. You know, because he's actually a very, very skillful boxer who could switch hit. He doesn't really have to show you, you know, because he's just been that dominant. It's kind of like he reminds me of Errol Spence. You know, we thought Errol Spence was just walk him down, rock him, sock him guy who gets hit here and there. Hell no. Yeah. He has a lot to his game, and he showed that with different and better opponents. And I think Boots is the same way.
No, you're right, but there's so many similarities between him and Spence, and this is what I brought up to him last week. It's like Spence was the boogeyman at one time. Like 2015, 2016, everyone was talking about like Triple G or something, and I would be like to my friends, oh, yeah, you like Triple G? But let me tell you about this guy named Boots. I mean, let me tell you about the guy named Spence. That's what it is now with Boots. Yeah. And same thing with Spence is like he was calling out guys. We thought he was ready to take on some of the champs at the time, but – you know, no one wanted to get in the ring with him because it just didn't make sense. And there's a lot of similarities, and you're right, there's a lot of facets of Boots's game that I think we're going to see. Same thing with Spence, not just a brawler. Look what we did with Mikey Garcia. Okay, main event time. It's time to get to the main event. Canelo Plant, big one over on Showtime. Oh, man, just tell me why you think that this won't be a Canelo blowout.
Oh, man, well, you got somebody in there first that's not showing fear. That's one. And that's a big thing in boxing. People don't understand. You know, you can lose a fight before you get in there. You know, just reading the accolades of somebody, reading their press, and believing that. And I think that knowing Caleb Plant for a while, he'll outwork you before you get in the ring, and then he'll outwork you in the ring. He's that kind of guy. He trains with Larry Wade, and Larry Wade is a stern trainer. He's a stern trainer, and if you look at the guys he trained, these guys are all workhorses. Badu Jack, Sean Porter, all monsters. You know, like, work ethic is ridiculous. And Larry Wade will tell you that he outworks everybody. You know, he's that kind of guy. So that's the kind of guy that Canelo's facing. Finally, somebody who is in their prime, young, natural 168-pounder. Benavidez says otherwise. But he's always been way bigger than Canelo, put it that way. And he's fast. He has great punch placement. He has accuracy. He's just an all-around good fighter. He just doesn't have, you know, a whole lot of pop, but he has enough to keep boxers honest.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's really drawn me back from fully believing in Plan. Right. And I believe in everything, like you said, the mentality. This guy, eat it, breathes it, sleeps it. I believe it. I believe that.
He got a chip on his shoulder. Oh, man. He has a chip on his shoulder, like they're not allowing him to fight. He's like that kid that, nah, we don't let you play. And he's like, wait till I come back.
Yeah, you know seriously. I mean?
That's him.
Already is a world champion, undefeated, still has that chip, which is great. Yeah. I mean, you can't deny that. The things that you get to the next level is getting into the ring and actually, you know, executing. The thing with the power you brought up, there's two things that I think you need to beat Canelo at this point. It's volume and it's power. And Plant doesn't really, not known for either. He's got decent pop. Like you said, he's more about placement than he is power. volume is not there. 50 punches around. You gotta beef that up. You gotta get up to the 70s, you know, like Golovkin did. That's the blueprint to disrupt Canelo. And even that was tough. I mean, people are still debating who won those fights. You gotta throw volume at Canelo. You gotta hit him with a jab and you gotta have power. I just don't think that Plant has that. But over to Canelo, this is a guy who's peaking. I mean, 31 years old. There are 72 active champions right now in boxing, and he ranks number one among them in fights with 59, rounds 425, knockouts 38, and he's only 31 years old, and he's peaking. I mean, this guy is on another level.
We've seen Canelo grow in skill set. We've seen him grow in size. If you would have asked me 2.5, 3 years ago, if he could beat Caleb Plant, I would say, of course not. Seriously. Maybe 3 years ago, I would say, matter of fact, I was saying that. I was saying, oh, he don't want to move up and fight Canelo. When he was fighting at 155-pound weight class
right.
that he invented, you know what I mean?
And, Canelo weight.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we used to all call it. And I would have told you, no, I just seen the progression, man. I seen him go from not just a stalker, but a skillful stalker with incredible defense and incredible reflexes. He's just amazing. And look at that press conference. I mean, that was a little tiny scrap, but that showed a lot. It really showed, because when I watched it over and over, I did not think a left hand was coming from Caleb.
I was breaking it down too, bro.
I would have got slapped in my face.
I was breaking that press conference down too. And that was so, you spend time with this guy, you know, his last couple of fights were with the zone. We've seen this maturation process, and you're so right, because just a few years ago, he wasn't getting his just due. Even when he fought Triple G, you know, he was looked at as like a prima donna, kind of like a marketing tool. Like, is he really Mexican? Even his own fans, the Mexican fan base, wasn't 100% sold on him because he didn't fight Mexican style. I think it was the second Triple G fight where he walked him down. That's when we were like, okay, this guy is legit. He took on more, bigger opponents, you know, middleweight, going to fight Kovalev. I mean, you can't deny it now, but you're right. There was a time 3, 4, 5 years ago where you wouldn't be like, this is going to be a blowout against Plant.
Let me just go out on a limb here. This is something I've never said before. I actually just thought about it listening to you just now. And I thought about it when you said the second Golovkin fight. It was actually the second Golovkin fight that changed this whole trajectory of his career, if you mm-hmm. think about it. And what I think happened, the first fight was a very close fight. A lot of people, maybe even yourself, say that Golovkin won that fight.
I do.
He gassed out. He gassed out around the fifth round. He's not used to moving back and having to move on his feet. First time fighting like that, it's hard to get that much stamina in one camp, right?
Mm-hmm.
The second fight, I think he didn't just prove himself to those fans who were doubting him. I think he proved himself to himself.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, it was right after that he moved up to 168. Now, mind you, he fought Fielding, who is not a killer, but he was still 168 pounds. And now, it wasn't too long ago, Canelo, well, he might not have said it, but Oscar would say, Canelo's not a full 160 pounder yet.
They're crazy.
You remember that?
Yeah.
You remember those things, right?
Yeah.
Now, Canelo has the frame and the size of a 154 pounder. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the 154 pounder guys were bigger than him at that time.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? When he was 154
yeah,
pounder.
Yeah,
you
Trout and Lara were bigger.
Heard. All of these guys are bigger. Like, they're all bigger than him.
Yeah.
But, you know, he still, after that Golovkin fight, I believe he proved himself to himself and went up and fought Fielding, and then Jacobs, who's a huge middleweight,
mm-hmm.
and then Kovalev. He just kept saying, wow, like, even Eddie Reynoso said he's not really a 175 pounder, right? After Kovalev, he destroyed Callum Smith,
yep.
Yildirim, Billy Joe was ridiculous, and then even though Chris Mannix had his blind scorecard ridiculous, I can't believe it. But anyway, so Eddie Reynoso went from saying, nah, he's not going to go to 175. That was just an opportunity to like, okay, yeah, we're about to fight Bivol. Like,
right.
He just keeps limit. Getting better and proving himself to Eddie, himself, and all of us. And I believe that's what's going on.
Well said. And it's, you know, you talk about Caleb Plant's got this insane desire and this insane, you know, motivation. Look at Canelo, man. This guy's got everything. He's a top. I mean, my guy Corey Erdman just wrote a story this week for Boxing Scene talking about the Hagler line. It's hard to wake up when you, you know, go to sleep in silk pajamas. But that's what he is. He's the guy right now. He's making the top money. He's done it all. It's a Hall of Fame career now, and he still has that drive. And I want to see him continue to fight on for, you know, he says he wants to fight till he's like, you know, 35 or 36. That at that point, he'd get to 70 fights. He can get to almost 500 rounds fought. I mean, that's like rarefied air to go along with all the accolades that we just talked. Last thing before, let's just say he wins.
Can I just say one thing? Can I say one thing?
Go ahead, man.
If he was to fight, let's say for, let's say five more years, let's just say four more years, right?
Yeah.
And he win the rest of his fights. Mm-hmm. We would probably consider him the best of all time.
I was thinking about that today. I was thinking he's
because
he's
even though he lost to Mayweather, even though that one loss to Mayweather, and he was during Mayweather's era somewhat, because he was young. See, Pacquiao, people are saying, oh, he's the greatest of all time. Some people, but then there's a lot of people still saying, well, he got beat by Mayweather. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Nine rounds of three. But because he was younger, we can chalk that up with possibly being too young. And then after that, it was his era.
You, to him, it would probably mean a lot more to be to surpass Chavez, be the best Mexican of all time. But if you're the best Mexican of all time, you're getting yourself into to the top 10. And my other guest that's coming on the show is Lee Groves. And he put Pacquiao in the top 20. And I threw that on YouTube, and you would have made the comments would have made it believe out that I just stomped on Pacquiao's legacy for the both of us having Pacquiao in the top 20 all time. This is a sport that's 100 years old. Being in the top 20 is like the ultimate. It's like better than rarefied air. It's like better than 1%. So
no, it's not the people who don't know the sport and don't know the participants.
Right. It's YouTube comment section. But yeah, so if you look at Canelo in 5 years from now, he's got a lot to do. He's got still more to accomplish. 5 years from now, 7 years from now, he wins every fight. He jumps up to 175 again. There's so much left for him to accomplish, and that's good for boxing. But let's say he wins, and what do you think he does next? Does he stay with PBC and fight, you know, Charlo Benavidez? Does he go back to the zone and to see what they have to offer? Maybe Better Biev, maybe Bivol.
That's a good question. I would probably lean to going back to the zone fighting 175 pounds. I don't know why he wants to fight Bivol. I would rather him fight Beterbiev. Mm-hmm. I think it's like this. When he fought Fielding, everyone said, well, why are you not fighting the best guy at 168? And that's Callum Smith. You know what I'm saying? And he came back and fought Callum Smith. But, you know, people complained about that as well because he makes them look bad.
Yeah.
You know, they you see what Callum Smith just did to his last opponent. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, I prayed for the guy afterwards.
Yeah, it was chilling.
You know what I mean? So the thing is that I think Beterbiev has that more intimidation factor, you know, in the sport, and he has nothing but knockouts. I just think that would be a better win for him.
Yeah.
And kind of like a tailor-made opponent for him if he can take Beterbiev shots.
Yeah, we got to see if Beterbiev can get past Marcus Brown. I think that's December 18th.
Great fight.
Great fight. So many good fights, man. What's your best favorite fight coming up this November? The one that if you can only watch one, what is it? Is it this weekend? Is it Porter, Crawford? What do you got?
Oh, God.
It's a tough question.
See, those two fights are great. Porter, Crawford, very good friends of mine. I hate that fight is even happening.
But that's like Stevenson Herring, like you and Crawford. He hated that fight. You hate it because these are your buddies.
You know, exactly. Like it, but it's really good for boxing. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about the most meaningful, maybe it would have to be probably Canelo Plant.
Yeah,
it would have to be Canelo Plant. Now, even though seeing Bud fight a PBC fighter has always been something we've always wanted.
Right. That's part of the fight. That's a big part of the selling point of this fight.
Yeah. Like so that fight is very, very close to that.
Yeah.
It's very, very close. And if some people said it's above that, I'm not going to argue them. But you're talking about undisputed and in a sport where you got 45 belts per division. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's just important. Mm-hmm. That's very, very important. And in a division where no one's had that yet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's why I argue people who say that the best aren't fighting the best. There's a couple of best not fighting the best fights that haven't happened, but yeah. there are a lot of best fighting the best. Poirier fighting Crawford is the best fighting the best. If right. you had Undisputed in 140, that means the best fought the best. 200 pounds, best fought the best. Yep. 168, the best are fighting the best. The best are actually fighting the best.
Preach it, my man.
Wilder, the best fighting the best. Usyk fighting Joshua is the best fighting the best. Like, we're yeah. witnessing the best fighting the best, but you're talking about one fight that's not happening. That's ridiculous.
Dude, you're preaching it, man.
And Crawford is not fighting. Okay, but the best are fighting the best. And,
right.
and in any era of boxing, there's always fights that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the Sugar Ray Leonard days. You talk about the four kings. It's only four guys. We got
yeah.
guys who are as popular today in this time, and we got a lot of them. We have Preach a it, lot man. Of them, and we got more networks than ever. This boxing is thriving right now. All we need to do is to wake up those old fans that left the sport when Mike Tyson retired.
Yeah, well, or we could just say, you know what, like you left. Now you can't come back. You can't go back because you're right. The narrative.
Don't be that mean. Don't be mean. No, let them come back. And we need to gain some new ones, man, because boxing is thriving, bro.
I know you're right, dude. I this is me. I'm a very positive fan. People say that are positive, media guy, because they say it to a fault. It's like, oh, you're way too positive. But no, it's not. Like the narrative that's been beaten home on boxing is that, like you said, best don't fight the best. But there's been so many unification bouts this year. We're on our way to Undisputed. The only division, really, that has a lot of moving parts is welterweight, because there's pieces of it. But if it had it our way, Spence would have fought Pacquiao, and then we would have been on our way to a big one. And I wouldn't be shocked if Spence fights Crawford next year. I mean, like the guy, like it's time is ticking. Like the guys are seeing it all around in boxing. It's like, we have to make the most money now. We have to secure our legacy, make the most money now. They're seeing it all over. You know, the networks need to fulfill their obligations. We're getting really good fights. I know this year, the summer it sucked because there were so many, you know, the Wilder stuff, and there was just so many cancellations, and there was just Pacquiao. But if you take a look at the whole year, and we're not doing this yet, but at the end of December, when we take our year, take a look back, there were going to be a ton of really, really good fights, best fighting the best. And we're going to see it this weekend, Canelo and Plant. You'll be there. I'm jealous. We need to hang out soon, man. I appreciate everything Absolutely. You do for the sport. The Zone Boxing Show is great. Everyone go check it out on the Zone. Everything you do, you're an advocate, you're an ambassador to the sport, and I appreciate it, man. I thank you for coming on.
It means a lot to me, brother. Thank you very much, man. It's my pleasure.
All right, it is time to bring in the one and only Lee Groves. He is a big part of the CompuBox team. He is a boxing historian. You can catch some of his articles in Ring Magazine. He's an author. He's a great guy, and he's with us here for Canelo Plant Fight Week. And Lee is the stats guy. You know, people look at me as the stats guy. Lee is the stats guy in the pecking order at CompuBox. I think it goes Bob Canobio, Lee, and then I'm just spewing out my stuff on social media. Lee, how you doing? It's a big fight week.
Yeah, it is a big fight week, and thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so what I want to do when we have you here is I want you to throw some numbers out, throw some stats out about this fight. Maybe if someone's looking to gamble, maybe someone wants to get a better feel for this, you could throw out some interesting stats on both Canelo and Plant, and we'll react. So let's get it started.
Well, now that Manny Pacquiao has officially announced his retirement, Canelo has taken the career leads among current world champions in a number of categories. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, he's just 3.5 months past his 31st birthday. So chronologically speaking, he can add on to these numbers. But among current world champions, Canelo has the most career rounds fought, 425. And that's 127 more than the second place guy, who is, according to my notes, Juan Francisco Estrada.
Wow.
127 rounds more than him. He has the most career knockouts at 38. He has the most fights with 59. And here's something very significant. He has 173 championship rounds. Plant has 122 professional rounds.
Wow. I love that. I love the fact that he's only 31. He's been on the scene for such a long time. Obviously made his debut when he was like a teenager, what, 15 years old in Guadalajara. So I could see how he would, you know, accumulate 425 rounds, but there are so many champions in boxing, 72 of them. And he is the leader in almost every single category besides Donaire, right? I think Donaire has fought more champions, but only by one. And I expect Canelo to eclipse that one unless something very, very bad happens. And we don't want that. But I love that. I love that stat that he has at just 31 years old. The guy, he's like an elder statesman of the sport.
He really is. And one another stat is that he's been a professional fighter for 16 years, which translates to 51.18% of his lifetime. Wow. And at age 31, he seems poised to be one of those rare boxing prodigies who will produce excellence in his teens, his 20s, and now his early 30s. There have been a number of fighters who have achieved great things as young men, but seem to burn out after that. Like, for instance, Wilfred Benitez and Pepino Cuevas were past their primes by their mid-20s. And there are three champions who won their titles at age 19, Morris East, Chulho Kim, and Ben Villaflor. They had their final fights at ages 21, wow, 22, and 23, and they were out of the game. Leo Randolph won an Olympic gold medal at age 17, and he had his final fight at 22, and he never came back. So it's very special what Canelo has been able to do. He was an excellent fighter when he was a teenager, and now at 31, he is the top pound-for-pound fighter in the sport, and he just seems to be getting better and better and better.
Yeah, that's the scary part, is that I think he is at his peak. He's at his all the height of his powers right now, I think. The fact that he didn't burn out already, do you think that has to do with his style? You know, the kind of more defense. It was a knock on him by his own countrymen until he beat Golovkin in that second fight, I believe. He's not like he doesn't trade a lot. He puts an emphasis on defense, which equals longevity.
You know, it's been said, and Canelo has said this, that he learned more from his one defeat against Floyd Mayweather than he has in his other many, many victories. Mm-hmm. And I think that that in many ways, and this is in the best sense of the word, he has become the Mexican Mayweather. I mean, both of them are known by one name, Money and Canelo, right? Mm-hmm. Both of them signed record-breaking contracts when it comes to money. They are the richest non-heavyweights in the sport. But stylistically, he has become, you know, Floyd Mayweather is the top plus minus fighter in CompuBox history. And that's the differential between the total percentage of punches that he lands as opposed to the total percentage of punches that his opponents land. Canelo is very efficient. He really is very efficient.
I agree.
And because of that defensive prowess, he doesn't take nearly as much punishment. And thus he is able and you know, even when he has taken on an active fight schedule, there was a time where he fought four times in less than a year. Mm-hmm. And yet he doesn't take the punishment and he's able to preserve himself.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting as his career goes on and he faces some of these bigger 168, you know, Benavidez. If he goes up to 175, the wear and tear that will have on him. But when it's all said and done, he could have close to 70 fights, close to 500 rounds fought. I mean, it's just staggering, staggering stuff. All right, what else you got for us, Lee?
Yes. Now, this could be also a key stat. Canelo has a very excellent history when it comes to fighting fighters who stand 6 feet tall or taller. Mm-hmm. He's faced four such opponents in his career: Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., Rocky Fielding, Sergey Kovalev, and Callum Smith. Against those men, he landed 41% of his total punches while taking only 18. He landed 50% of his power shots.
That's absurd.
And landed and only took 27%. He averaged 5.4 landed jabs per round to their 3.3. And this is a guy who is facing enormous reach deficits in doing that. and he landed twice as many total punches per round, 17 versus 8.5. Almost more than twice as many power punches, 11.6 to 5.2. I mean, and then when you take his last eight fights against normal-sized fighters, the numbers aren't nearly as good.
Wow.
Yes, he's still ahead, 35 to 25 overall and 45 to 30 power, but he really prospers against taller fighters, and it's because he is so tremendously effective to the body. Mm-hmm. In those four fights in which he fought against taller men, he landed 173 body shots.
That's absurd. That's what it is. That's what it's going to come down to, I feel like, in this fight, is because the height difference with Plant is pretty substantial. The reach difference is there. And Plant is a little bit of a mover. And everyone that I'm talking to that gives Plant any chance is like, oh, he's slick. He can move. Yeah, but when you get hammered to the body, like Canelo has been able to master, from what the numbers are showing us, 173 body shots in 38 rounds. That's how he slows down these big guys. And he's right in that range as a 5'8", 5'9", fighter. He's mastered that, and it's working for him.
And you mentioned the height, 5'8". He's only 1 inch taller than Roberto Duran. Wow. And Roberto Duran was a lightweight champion. And yet he is able to prosper against these beanstalks, you know, again and again and again. And the body shots really do have an effect as far as your willingness to punch back. Your punch rate goes down. You're so focused on the damage that he's done to your body. It takes your legs away. Mm-hmm. It takes your willingness to exchange away. And that dovetails right into Canelo's game. You slow down to his pace, and then his accuracy, his precision takes over.
That's something to keep an eye on in this fight. Definitely is the body work. We got something on Plant numbers-wise?
We do. Actually, Plant has fought four super middleweight title fights. And in those fights, Plant has averaged 20.1 more punches per round. 54.3 to 34.2. And that's important because Canelo has a tendency to sort of get his way into the fight. He starts methodically. He starts slowly. He takes time to assess you, to download the data. And because Plant is able to maintain a higher work rate, his best chance is to jump on Alvarez early. Flood the zone with punches, make him think more about defense than offense. And maybe you can jump to an early lead on the scorecards. Mm-hmm. And if he is able to keep this up, not beyond three rounds, but say four, five, six rounds, say he wins five of the first six rounds. Now Canelo has to win seven of, six of the last seven rounds or something in order to win a decision.
Yeah.
Or he would have to go into knockout mode. Maybe he'll open up more than he is comfortable opening up with. And in that, in turn, that could create openings that normally would not be there if Canelo was not in total control.
Yeah, there's two fights, Lee, that I think of with this, with what you're saying with Canelo. And it's he doesn't throw a lot of punches, Canelo. He's in the high 30s. He's in the high 30s. And we saw it against Kovalev, and we saw it against Saunders. Mm-hmm. When Canelo loses rounds, it's because that it's sheer inactivity. He's not throwing a lot of punches. He has this tight walk. He walks this tight walk where he's given up rounds, but then he throws and he's trusting his power late. It happened with Kovalev. Some people had him down in the cards. I still had him up against Saunders, but it was a somewhat close fight until he broke his orbital bone. For Plant, you know, his last four fights, as you said, being able to outwork his opponent. If he comes out to a hot start, throws 50, 60 punches per round, he could make things interesting. But also the flip side of it is Canelo is one of the best counter punchers in boxing. And I would love to see Plant throw 50, 60 in those first four rounds. But, you know, he's thinking of the counter shot, Plant.
Very much so. And an important component of his activity is his jab. In those four super middleweight title fights, he landed five jabs per round. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And he is also a fairly decent body puncher for a guy as tall as he is. His percentage is only 20.2%. That's below the 29.5 CompuBox average. But he can change levels. And he'll need to change levels with Canelo because Canelo is a very sophisticated fighter offensively and defensively. You have to keep him guessing. You have to be a moving target. You have to change levels. You have to change positions. You cannot be trapped along the ropes. Canelo's going to try and cut the ring off on you. You have to be complex because Canelo is complex.
Yeah, I'm interested in Plant's activity. I'm interested in the jab. If he's going to be pumping it out there 25, 30 times around, and his defense. He's one of the best defenders at super middleweight.
He really is. Plant has also had experience in climbing inside a ring as a profound underdog and then overperforming. When he fought Ustategui for the championship, Ustategui was an overwhelming favorite. He was seen as the boogeyman of the 168-pound division because he was a volume puncher. He threw punches all over the place. They didn't think that Plant had the experience necessary, the level of opposition necessary to deal with Ustategui. And guess what? It was Plant who scored the knockdowns. He scored multiple knockdowns against Ustategui. He also fought with a cut over his eye for a lot of the fight. So he showed a lot of composure in that situation. Other fighters would have broken in that situation. Caleb kept his head.
Yeah.
And another thing that's really impressive to me about Plant is his self-confidence. He believes in himself. He believes that he has survived a terrible, you know, life outside the ring, full of tragedy. And that has given him strength. And I think that emotional strength that he has incurred during his life, what's climbing into the ring against Canelo Alvarez compared to the things that he has experienced in his life?
No, absolutely.
So I think I like his composure. I like his confidence. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people in his situation, they say he's giving away his title and he should not be as confident as he is because Canelo is so good. I want my challengers. If you're going up against a pound for pound guy, I want the other guy to be confident. I want the other guy to say, I can win. That makes for a better fight. You've got two guys who believe that they can win. Everything is on the line. And I can't wait to see what happens on Saturday.
You got me fired up, Lee. You got me fired up. I was already fired up to begin with because we're now in November, and this is going to be the November to remember with all these every single weekend. We got so many big fights. We're going to be so busy at CompuBox. Fight fans should be happy with the slate of boxing that we're getting this weekend. Canelo Alvarez and Caleb Plant, Showtime pay-per-view. I hope we got you ready from a numbers standpoint. It's intriguing. There are a lot of intriguing numbers. There's legacy at stake. The first ever super middleweight undisputed champion is on the line. I know Canelo wants that. Caleb Plant wants that. Interesting inside the ring, outside the ring. This fight really has everything. I appreciate you joining the show, Lee, and appreciate everyone out there tuning in this week for another edition of Inside Boxing Live. We will see you next week when we react to Canelo versus Caleb Plant, and we look forward to it. What is going to be a very jam-packed month. Take care, everybody.